Teachers across Clark County got back to work a week ago. Classes, of course, are all online, and that's meant the usual back-to-school routine has changed. In fact, it's been somewhat messy for some of those teachers. Aside from learning to record, edit, and upload videos, teachers dealt with the school district's online system crashing the first day of classes. And some teachers say they're spending more time learning to use the system and less time helping students. Marie Nisus is president of the Clark County Education Association, which is the teachers union. Marie, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. Marie, you have said the experience for teachers has been really on a sliding scale, from good to very stressful. What's made it stressful?
Honestly, educators were never prepared to teach virtually, so the stress comes from trying to be ready for that first day of school for students. You know, educators had 13 days of professional development, and they just felt that it was not what they needed to be ready by Monday. I had one educator say, you know, I never went to college to be a web designer, and that's how they feel. They are overwhelmed, and rightly so. You know, they, teachers always want to step up and do the best that they can, our other licensed professionals as well, but there was just a lot to try to get ready for that first day for students and to have it go off without a hitch. But clearly there were some bumps along the road. So
yeah. So 13 days. And last spring, schools ended around March. They were supposed to all go online. Did that, you know, that experience, it didn't seem to help the teachers very much in preparing for this fall?
No, only because the directive was that they were only supposed to review, they weren't supposed to teach new content, so educators didn't realize it, that we would be in this situation this fall. I think had they had a crystal ball and known in advance, they probably would have spent some more time starting to get used to, you know, flipping to that type of instruction. So the instruction to just review was a little easier because it was through packets, or it was also through, you know, some of the computer-based learning programs that we have that teachers were able to assign to students. So it was very different. So the mindset this fall was, well, now you're actually going to be teaching versus reviewing. And, you know, there came a lot of struggles with that, because how do you teach your content that you're supposed to teach in front of students and now flip it to doing it virtually?
I'm talking to Marie Nisus. She's president of the Clark County Education Association, the teachers union. And we're talking about some of the difficulties that teachers have had to go through in preparation for an all online virtual classroom this fall. One of the other issues, Marie, that came up really in a news story last week was it was reported, you know, that a student had pornography playing in the background on a monitor that was behind him. So other students they get to watch each other in kind of like a Zoom room. They could tell what it was before the class started. And here at Nevada Public Radio, we've talked to a student who said her classmate was in the pool lounging during class, but trying to take the class while he's in the pool. Have you heard of other issues like that?
Yes, the district is having educators use Google Meet to have their virtual lessons, and I've heard from educators whose rooms have been hijacked, where somebody who isn't supposed to be in the room has popped in, has done inappropriate things like you just mentioned, and it is an issue because, you know, we're concerned for student safety, and we want to make sure that they're only exposed to the right things versus things like the pornography, and there have been people who pop in and say inappropriate things, and so it's stressful on an educator to try to protect those students.
Yeah, what is a teacher supposed to do in that case? I can't imagine how you'd stop it.
Yeah, it is. It's stressful because, you know, you're trying to teach your content, but also be concerned about your students' safety. So, you know, this is very different for everybody, including families, to get used to the idea that, hey, you know, maybe my background, the things that are happening in my household, may be picked up if my child is not muted during the session and is participating. So it's something that everybody has to get used to doing.
And, you know, this first week of school, at least from what I can remember, is a time for teachers to get to know their students and their needs. Is that really possible now since it's all through a computer screen?
Well, educators are very creative, and they've come up with different solutions on how to do that. But, you know, parents don't normally see what that looks like those first few days of building rapport with your students, building a community, setting up classroom expectations. And so sometimes when we do those things, it's silly stuff, you know, to try to get to know the students. And I did see, unfortunately, some parents, you know, were on social media complaining about, what does this have to do with science or math? And it's like, yeah, but that first week is really important to build that bond with that child, so that, you know, we get to know them on a personal level, so that we can see maybe what type of learner they are. And so some parents immediately were upset that, you know, day one, I guess they assumed it would be instruction, you know, right from the get-go. And instruction is important, but also building rapport with those students is important.
Yeah, there's a great fear that online isn't as good as in class. So I imagine people are really jumping the gun right away on whether or not the students are being taught appropriately. And in fact, studies have shown students really fall behind in classes, technical classes like math, when it's taught online. And Superintendent Jesus Jara admitted as much when he was on with us recently. Is there a secret, though, or something math teachers that you know are trying in order to get over that hurdle?
Well, I know a lot of educators are very good about collaborating with one another, and I see it a lot on social media groups where they're helping each other out, they're giving each other suggestions, even within, you know, not just within one building necessarily. They reach out to others to say, you know, how are you doing this successfully? So I think that might come where a lot of the stress is coming from, because they understand. I don't think there's one educator who disagrees. The best type of instruction is definitely being in the building in front of students. We all understand that. But we also are concerned about safety, about the employees as well as children. So, you know, they are doing the best that they can. They're trying to figure it out. I know there are bumps. I know yesterday someone was telling me that a teacher got locked out of their Google Meet because something happened with setting it up. And so she was panicked, like, oh my gosh, my students, I have to reach out to them a different way to let them know I am trying to reset, trying to get back in and trying to get the lesson going. But, you know, things are happening that are kind of out of people's control when this is a new situation for them.
And again, I'm talking to Marie Nisus. She's president of the Clark County Education Association, the teachers union. We're talking about a lot of the issues teachers are facing. It's been 1 week since school started, and there have been a plethora of issues. If you're a teacher out there, call us. Has it been that difficult for you, or do you find maybe doing online teaching, it really works for you? The number is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Again, Marie, we're talking all about this online virtual teaching. So many issues have come up, and one of those came up in California, and I'm wondering if it might be similar here. In California, teachers have said they are teaching far more kids in their classes than was in their contract. Is that happening as well in Nevada?
I'm starting to hear glimpses of that yes, that's occurring. I know there was one school, a gentleman shared with me that a teacher quit day two of this because of the stress of trying to be ready, and those students were then split up amongst the teachers that are left in that grade level. So it is concerning because, you know, you're not now dealing with, okay, there's not enough space in the classroom to fit the students because you're talking virtually. You don't have to worry about the spacing. But then the flip side is when we go back into the building, what happens with all those extra students who don't fit on a normal day? Now, if you've added all these additional students to that section or to that teacher, you know, how do we deal with that?
Well, this brings up another question. Do we have, you know, usually this time of year, we're doing stories, the newspapers, media, TV, about how few teachers Clark County School District has, and they're searching and searching for more teachers. Haven't heard those stories now. This big story has been online learning, but are there a lot fewer teachers this year?
Well, I know there have been some that are retired and some that weren't ready, you know, even though they were at retirement age, weren't going to, but some have chosen to do that because of the stress of being able to teach virtually. We've always had vacancies, and I know that was one of the questions we asked, you know, how are our long-term subs going to be trained to be prepared to do all of this? Because as an educator who has an actual degree in education, it's been difficult. So how do we expect, you know, our long-term subs who don't get paid anywhere near as close to what an educator does, you know, to be prepared, because educators are putting many, many hours above their contract day and on the weekend. And then I know you mentioned at the beginning about Friday where Canvas went down, and so educators were frantic because that was a full day that they planned on working to be ready for Monday, and not having that available to them put a lot of stress on them, and a lot of them had to work tirelessly over the weekend to try to be ready for Monday when students began.
It's an unusual year. The teachers union has been working, trying to work with the administration here, but I wonder what school officials are saying about this, about all these extra hours, extra students in the classroom.
Well, you know, I think it's gotten where, you know, it's always just expected. Educators step up to the plate and they do the best that they can. But, you know, at what point is it a breaking point when we have educators calling and crying and are so stressed out because they feel like they're going to be punished for not being able to do a perfect job when they are trying? They're trying their best to do that, but there's so many additional things that have been put on their plates that the stress level is like I've never seen before. You know, so it's a difficult time for educators right now. I know we've heard from our special education teachers, and they're very stressed out because all the IEPs have to be rewritten by I just lost my train of thought on the date, but it's coming up soon, mm-hmm. and they were concerned about there are not enough hours in the day to rewrite every child's IEP and also teach those students, you know, to meet their needs while we're doing this all virtually. So it's a stressful time of year, more stress than I've ever seen.
You know, there is one more interesting aspect of the way COVID is impacting teachers. Teacher break rooms are gone in the schools this year, and these are places where teachers can joke and share their pains or their joys and get tips. So where are teachers meeting, if they are, to get advice or just talk to other teachers?
Well, they do have their own. They'll do their own virtual meetings to share with one another how to do things. I know there have been educators who stepped up who have found it easy to step into this technological world of teaching, and who were able to get Canvas down rather quickly. So then they share their knowledge with other educators. And then, of course, like I said, they're sharing their frustrations in social groups because social media groups, because it is frustrating for them. And you're right, there's a connection usually when someone is at that breaking point. There's someone else who steps in and, you know, talks them off the ledge, so to speak, to say, you know, hang in there. We have your back. We can help each other out. But it is an unfortunate situation that we're dealing with. I don't think anyone's happy about it. The public's not happy. Our educators are not happy. But, you know, it always comes down to safety. You know, we have to worry about the safety of the students as well as the employees.
Happy or unhappy, parents and teachers are dealing with a lot with virtual learning this year. All classes in the Clark County School District are online. It's all coming through their computer screen at home. And a big question is, how do you keep the attention of small children, kindergarten? And Jerry from Las Vegas has a question about that. Welcome.
Hello. How are we doing today?
Pretty good. How are you, Jerry?
Oh, I'm doing as well as I can, but I'm a little frustrated, or rather, I'm portraying the frustration of my poor wife. She's a stay-at-home mom, and so she works harder than I do any day of the week. And we have four children. Two of them are identified special needs children, and she's worked hard with them with ADHD, and one of them is on the autism spectrum. This 5-year-old is our last child, and he is very smart, but is probably a ADHD child as well. But he already has an IEP with the district. He's gone through their pre-K program, but he is now enrolling in kindergarten, and he is expected to do online schoolwork. He has absolutely no attention span at all for sitting there on a laptop. And my question is, you know, my poor wife has got him in one half of the room trying to keep him on task. Then she's got my fifth grader in the other half of the room, and she's an accelerated student doing very well. And even she's finding it very difficult to stay on task. And she loves school. I mean, actually, they both love school, but the 5-year-old can't stay on task, And the 10-year-old's having a hard time staying on task, and the older kids are definitely having a hard time staying on task.
What do you do?
And they actually go, and they're in charter school, and they're actually going to school, having that opportunity because, what do they do? You know,
a lot going on there. We're talking about the start of school. It began last week. And there is a big learning curve for teachers, for parents, for students. So we're really focusing on teachers today. Our number is 702-258-3552. They have had to go through a lot to get prepared for this all-online virtual classroom experience. And it's not easy. And I'm speaking with Marie Nisus. She's president of the Clark County Education Association, the Teachers Union. And Marie, before we went to a break, we were talking to Jerry. He has multiple children. And he had a good question. He has a child who's going to be a kindergartner, ADHD. I can't imagine how difficult it is for a teacher to keep somebody's attention through a computer screen.
That is one of the biggest challenges that classroom teachers are facing. But you know, that's what they do. They sit there and they think about their lessons and they adjust them and modify them based on what's happening with those children. So I know that. The schools have different schedules, and they're supposed to be like breaks in between as far as how much time they're spending virtually in a room with a teacher. You know, how long are they on the computer doing that type of work versus work that maybe is paper-based that's separated from the computer. So I think as educators are seeing what it's going like this is, you know, the second week of school, what does that look like? Is it not being successful? They will modify their lessons to try to make sure they meet the needs of those students. I do feel for the families that have multiple children in their household because of their schedules, if they're at different schools, you know, the scheduling may be very different. And so for a parent or a guardian to be helping out their children, it can be difficult when they're not all set on one same schedule.
That's Marie Nisus. She's president of the Clark County Education Association. We're talking about K-12 teachers and what they're experiencing so far this virtual school year. And joining us now is Autumn Norse. She is a math teacher. She's been here for 13 years teaching, and she's at the Coral Academy for Science. Autumn, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Autumn, for being here. And you're front and center. I wonder what it's like to teach, to talk to students when you're not in the classroom with them.
It's enjoyable. We're all in teaching because we love children. So compared to last fourth quarter when we didn't have that live session built into our schedule, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying seeing their faces, you know? It's not as enjoyable as being in the classroom with them, of course, but you know, I do like the formality of the live sessions that each of the school schedules have created for the school year.
When you prepared for this fall, did you have to learn new skills, computer skills, editing skills, that kind of thing?
Oh man, the learning curve has been high. I have learned how to keep web pages going, 5 of them, one for each of my classes, how to make sure links work, how to videotape myself, edit those videos, upload those videos. The whole teaching requirement has changed. So my job description has changed, and I've just been trying to learn it as I go.
Yeah. What about teachers who don't get it, who can't, you know, deal with the technological change? Are you hearing about that?
You know, I know you had talked with Marie a lot about the collaboration of teachers, and I've tried to avoid the collaboration with other teachers so much because there's a lot of negativity that can get drawn from that. And I found that just kind of looking at the problems I have and looking at my students and trying to meet their needs and just isolating it to like my type of problems with my demographic of students was what I could kind of handle right now. So I haven't, I've kind of just limited it to, you know, the concerns with my students,
okay.
I guess.
All right. So social media, as anybody who's ever gone on Facebook or any of these pages knows, it's either this place where you see unrealistically happy photos of people, or it's just a hate room. So you're not going there. Are you going anywhere to get support?
I talked to maybe one other teacher, and I talk to my husband, who also is in education, and I just leave it at those two things, because I find that that's more constructive for me to handle than opening it up to all these other problems or all these other, you know, everybody has different issues right now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just rely on a couple people for my support.
And you're a math teacher. Research shows it's more difficult to teach math through a computer than almost any other subject. First, I wonder what you found that makes it harder, and have you discovered any solutions, tricks?
What makes it harder is you can't read body language at all. So in these live sessions, and I've had students tell me this, as a teacher, I can be talking and they know what's going on, and then I call on them and everything in their brain just disappears because they have that pressure of you calling on them, you know? And I can read that as a teacher in the classroom. I can be like, oh my goodness, I just caused that student to freeze up. Let me, you know, walk them into this question. Let me help them out. You know, so you can read body language. You get to know your students that way. And that is gone. So now I'm looking at, while I'm teaching a live session, squares of students with their names. And I've never met these students. So it's going to take a while for me to get that personalization, which comes with teaching. And then when you teach a class that could be somewhat anxious, you know, math, high level math, it'll make me a better teacher when I can personalize it a little bit more. So that's harder. But what's easier is using a lot of the online tools. So I've been scanning my notes, which has helped some students with dyslexia. I've been recording videos, so that helps a lot of students who can't take notes fast enough. They can go back and watch. I know that one of my students, he was actually also talking about, he's hard of hearing, and so he is able to hear his lectures a lot better now. And so it's, you know, a lot of good is coming from these online support systems, but there's a lot that takes away too, because you're not getting to see the full student.
That's Autumn Norris. She's a math teacher at the Coral Academy of Science, and she's working through the maze that is online teaching. There have been a lot of issues, though, already with online teaching. And joining us now is Brad Mariano. He's a professor at UNLV's College of Education, where students learn to be teachers. He has an expertise in teachers' unions. Brad, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Joe. Good to be here.
Sure. So, Brad, talking about unions, have the unions and their teachers been prepared to handle online education?
Well, the reality of it all is that all of a sudden, all of our teachers are now first-year teachers, and all of our educational leaders are now first-year educational leaders, because there is nothing in our schooling or nothing in their teacher preparation that could have prepared them to navigate a worldwide pandemic and move quickly to distance learning.
Well, you know, in the spring, we went to distance learning around March, and you just heard Marie Nisus say they had about 13 days of preparation over the summer. Doesn't sound like it's enough. And you had mentioned that teachers' unions have the sort of a history of reacting versus, I guess, making sure something like the online teaching is ready ahead of time. First of all, why do you think that is?
Well, it depends on the longstanding relationships that school districts have with their labor partners. And so we've seen close collaborations in some areas around the country where teachers' unions and school districts collaboratively work together. They adjust collective bargaining agreement language to match the new distant learning setting, and other places where it's more reactionary. You look at places like Arizona right now, where they move to a full reopen, and now we're seeing the forceful reaction among teachers and their labor partners against that reopening. And so a lot of it depends on the relationships that previously existed between districts and teachers' unions.
How do you see the relationship here in Clark County?
It's mixed, and so and Marie can speak from her experience as well, but we've seen tensions in the past, threats of strikes in the last 2 years, and so mixed relationships between the school district and the teachers' unions. But what I've been telling folks and advocating for is we really need to utilize the tools that we have, that collectively bargained agreement, to adjust the expectations for teachers and really cement those expectations so everyone has clarity around what the expectations are.
You know, I've already heard people referring to this year of students as the, quote, lost generation. I think that's pretty extreme, but I get their point. I wonder, as a researcher, how you think online learning will affect K through 12 students in the long run this year.
Well, you look at the polling across the country and even in our own district, we see technology access gaps, access gaps in terms of Wi-Fi, access gaps in terms of computers. And I applaud the district and their labor partners and everyone who's working terribly hard to roll out technology to those that need it most. But it's still not going to be sufficient, and it's still not going to replicate the face-to-face setting. And the concern is that the opportunity gaps among our most vulnerable students that already exist will widen even further, because the students least served by distance learning are those in our Black and brown and low-income communities who do not have access to all the tools that they need to succeed in education.
And you referred to some of these stories around the country. Stories are coming out about students doing their homework outside of fast food restaurants because they don't have Wi-Fi at home. Teachers paying outrageous internet bills because they need more bandwidth. Are you hearing about that here? And really, what kind of needs to happen in Nevada to avoid that kind of thing?
You know, I haven't heard of it on a widespread scale. I've heard pockets here where parents and even teachers are reaching data caps on their internet plans. We've seen innovative ways across the country where teachers' unions and school districts have collectively bargained around providing additional funding for teachers who are meeting those data caps and need additional funding to pay for internet. Really, what it comes down to is we need the resources right now to reopen schools. But unfortunately, the spring shutdown kind of put a full stop on our economy, and so the resource problem is further compounding our ability to provide access to the resources needed to succeed in distance education and then to reopen schools safely. And so it's kind of created a perfect storm of factors that is really making it difficult for our educators right now.
And we have time for one more call. Levi from Las Vegas, welcome to the program.
Hi, yes. Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, so my question was having to do with special education. I know that certain students have IEPs that allow for a full-time aide to help them throughout the day. A friend of mine has a student that has that in their IEP, and they're not able to utilize that right now. I know the union president earlier said they're working on rewriting all of them, but I was just curious if there was a way to maybe allow for those aides to come to the students' homes or perhaps meet in a neutral location like a library, or maybe do a limited opening of school buildings for students that either need an aid or need to be met in small group settings. Yeah.
Marie Nisus, any possibility of something like that, some kind of, I guess, in-person connection between a student and a teacher in this case?
And I think that's one of the biggest challenges that we're facing, not just with our little ones, but also our special needs students who, like the gentleman said, need a full-time aide. But unfortunately, I can't speak on behalf of their union or bargain on their behalf. So I don't know what their parameters would be, because right now we are under this COVID, you know, concern of safety and making sure that children are safe as well as employees are safe. But, you know, I hadn't even thought about that some of our children are, you know, do have an aide designated with them Monday through Friday when they're in school. So, you know, that is a concern that also needs to be addressed.
And I have one more question for Autumn Norris before we go. We have about 40 seconds left. Autumn, when the school year is over, I wonder if you think students in all subjects, but particularly in math, are going to be pretty far behind because it's been taught online. Autumn, are you there? We don't have Autumn. Randy, who on Twitter wrote us a comment, and he says he's a part-time instructor at UNLV. He says he prefers class instruction, but online has its benefits. And when things go back to normal, he says he's going to try to combine the benefits of online with in-class instruction. And we've been talking about teachers and the difficulties they faced this fall. Brad Mariano is a professor at UNLV's College of Education. Marie Nisus is president of the Clark County Education Association, and Autumn Norris is a math teacher at the Coral Academy of Science. I want to thank them all.